time to have our monthly chat with Dr. Zoe Harcombe, who joins us now. Morning, Zoe.
Good morning, Bill.
How is the UK? Is it snowing yet in time for Christmas?
Do you know, they said we've got snow on the way. It is bitterly cold today. There's a southeasterly wind coming up from somewhere, and you'd think it was coming from the Arctic. It's very cold today.
Oh, bless. Well, if you believe the Daily Express, then there's going to be the worst snow conditions for the last 7 million years in the United Kingdom this Christmas, which is kind of appropriate, because on the front of the Daily Express and other newspapers on the 8th of December, and I remember seeing this at the weekend, was the headline, "Stronger Statins Could Save 12,000. There's a headline, eh?
If only. Yeah. If only. I think I'd be on them if I thought they were going to save my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, the true evidence behind the headline left quite a little to be desired.
No, I don't believe you. Really?
Yeah, really. Where do we start on this one?
Where do we start? Well, let's talk about, firstly, the fact that this study, as such, was funded by a company called Amgen Europe, and the conflicts of interest declared by their authors read like a list of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the last 100 years, don't they, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I listed them out in my Monday notes, and they occupy 18 lines of an A4 piece of paper, and you've got everybody in there, Novo Nordisk, Novartis, Merck Sharp and Dome, Pfizer, of course, with the famous Lipitor, Sanofi, Roche, and just about all the authors are all conflicted with those companies, AstraZeneca. I don't want to miss anyone out, do I, goodness me? Boehringer Ingelheim. I mean, they're all there. It is the who's who of the statin industry. And that is, of course, with virtually all statin studies. In fact, one that I've got to hand, which is always lovely to quote, one of those rare ones that isn't actually funded by the statin industry, was a brilliant paper in 2015 by Christensen et al. And you can search for it online and it will come up. And they concluded, they looked at all the evidence completely independently, and they said if you took statins for between about 2 to 6 years, I think it was about 5 years on average, you might gain 3 to 4 days at best. And the general view in the industry is that is not because these drugs lower cholesterol. Yes, they do lower cholesterol, but the people in the know would see that as a serious side effect, the cholesterol-lowering consequences.
Yep.
But it is known that statins have a small anti-inflammatory effect.
Yes.
And they know this as well, the drug companies, because they try to market statins for arthritis and other inflammatory conditions. So they're very well aware of this. And that 3 to 4 days that you might gain over 5 years of taking them is likely because of the anti-inflammatory effect. But then, of course, unfortunately, for all the years that you take them with the hope that you might be the lucky person that gets the 3 to 4 day benefits, the statin own prescription drug leaflet will tell you what your risks are during the time of taking them. And if you've got no, if you've got heart disease or not got heart disease, you're going to have the same opportunity of getting these side effects. And some of the side effects are pretty serious, and I always look at the very common ones. So on the Lipitor patient leaflet, other statins are available. 1 in 10 people are likely to suffer the following, and that can be inflammation of airways, throat, nosebleeds, increase in blood sugar levels, so there's particular warning for diabetes, and we now know that statins can cause diabetes type 2, headaches, nausea, constipation, wind, indigestion, sometimes the stomach pain that comes with statins is particularly horrific, joint pain, muscle pain, back pain, and liver function can become abnormal, and that's in the 1 to 10 category.
Wow. 1 person in 10, that's a high percentage, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the study that we're talking about really here is not really a study. It was a kind of re-looking at numbers, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the researchers didn't do a study of their own. They looked back at some data that are available generally, and there's a database that exists in the UK that's called the Clinical Practice Research Data Link, and it looks at a number of patients from GP practices across the UK. Mm-hmm. So the researchers looked back at data between about 2010 and 2016, and what they were particularly looking for were people who had been recently diagnosed with cardiovascular disease. So they would have had some kind of event. It might be angina. It might be that it was needed for them to have a stent fitted. It could have been a heart attack. And in fact, they put some data, reported the data for the people a little bit more accurately, and said that 79% of people had had a CVD event in the year before that they started looking at them, and 55% had actually had what we call an acute CVD event. So that would likely be a heart attack or stroke. So they did go in to find some people who were in pretty bad shape.
Right.
And they found almost 17,000, so 16,700 people.
Okay.
And they then wanted to follow those people over the next few years to see what happened, because obviously those people were immediately put on cholesterol-lowering medications.
Right.
The belief system of the medical industry. So they wanted to see what happened to those guys over the coming years.
Okay.
And they claimed that they were looking at adherence to statins, which is how often people take their statins, and what level of dose statin they were on. So the headlines that they managed to come up with were essentially, take your statins, don't forget to take them, and take them at the highest dose that you can tolerate, which was obviously the headline that a statin-funded study would love to achieve.
Mm.
But unfortunately, they didn't actually look at adherence or the dose that people were on, because the bit that just puzzled me, as soon as I started reading the paper, they said that all the results that were being claimed, the lowest risk that they claimed, were for the people who took their statins and who took them at the highest dose.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they had the lowest risk, but it was these words that then got me interested, versus or compared with patients who had not been treated for 1 year or longer.
So who are these untreated patients?
Exactly.
Yes.
That is the immediate question, because you realise that they're only looking at these 16,700 people. So you're thinking, who was the control group? Because nobody would have been left unstatinated.
Yes. If
somebody had just had an event and they went in specifically to find people who had been given their first statin or cholesterol-lowering drug prescription. There are other cholesterol-lowering drugs. Who would they leave unmedicated? Surely that would be completely unethical, according to their own belief system.
Right.
And then I found a sentence on page 10 of the paper, which is where they have to declare what is known as limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So the research is supposed to be honest about what isn't so good about your paper. And they left it to this point to say, because we wanted to have a year to estimate adherence, how well people were sticking to taking their prescription,
mm-hmm.
patients were considered to be untreated during their first year on drugs.
Uh-huh. So they weren't untreated at all. They just ignored the people
in
the first year.
They weren't untreated at all. Yep. So they took 16,700 people and they put them on statins and or other cholesterol-lowering drugs, and they started monitoring them, and they treated that first year as the base year against which the other years were compared.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Zoe, but isn't the riskiest time for having a cardiovascular event is after having a cardiovascular event?
Absolutely. And it's massively higher, massively, massively higher. In fact, your first month is the most risky time.
Mm.
If you know anyone who's just had a heart attack or stroke, the next month is critical. Get through the next month and you can start to breathe a bit more easily. Get through the first year and you can really start to breathe a little bit more easily.
Right.
So they have basically compared events in years 2 to 6 with primarily events in year 1.
Uh-huh.
And no wonder everything then looked good. So to call these patients untreated when they were on drugs and they knew that they were on drugs and they knew what this would do to the data, and they will very well know that the most risky time is during that first year. I mean, one of the UK newspapers picked up the story. They were tipped off by a cardiologist in the UK who actually sent it to the paper and said, this is what was really going on with that study that was reported at the weekend. And thankfully, one of the newspapers has picked it up. But of course, everybody has seen Saturday's article.
Yep.
And you've now got ordinary people thinking, oh my goodness, I really should take my statin, even though I'm in pain, even though I'm losing my mind, I forget everything.
And not only take it, but increase the dose.
Exactly, and go to the maximum possible dose that I can possibly cover with. And the other issue, I mean, there were many other issues with this study, not least, they did look at 16,700 people in year one. That was their bench year. But they seemed to lose so many people over the study that by year 6, they were down to 1,500 people.
What?
So not even 1 in 10 people were still being followed up at year 6. So There might only have been a few events in year six. You are not going to be able to, it's going to be too small a number for them to be able to say with statistical confidence, ah, that person didn't have an event because they were on a high dose versus a medium dose or a medium dose versus a low dose. The numbers would just be too small. And given that the guys went back to look at the research data, they should have looked at that data and said, if we're doing a proper review where we follow up people for 5 to 6 years, look at year 5, 6 guys, and we can actually only follow 1,500 people. So
that's
we should go out to market saying we managed to follow 1,500 people for 5 to 6 years.
Absolutely, not 16,000. Yeah.
Yeah, not claim that this is a massive study based on 16,000 to 17,000 people, and then again not make it really, really clear that all you have confirmed is that the first year is the riskiest. And we knew that already. We've known that for about, I don't know, 70 years.
We talked about this earlier, and people have called about it as well. What chance do the public have when these studies, in inverted commas, are allowed to be put out there as kind of attention-grabbing headlines, and only when you read and understand, because you're clinically trained, the data, do you realise that it's absolute nonsense? Why are they allowed to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been blogging for every Monday since 2011. I did my 400th blog post.
Wow.
A couple of weeks ago, and every week I take a paper from the past week, and it might be on low-carb diets and birth defects or red meat, the evidence, or the latest allegations coming out from the World Health Organization, and I take a paper or an official report from the previous week, and I have never failed to find a topic that needs studying, because there are so many papers coming out in so many different journals every single day, but I have also never managed to look at a study and not find something that's worth commenting on.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're really big like this. It's been lovely, my email box, over the last couple of days, because cardiologists and doctors who know my email have seen the article in the British newspaper, and some of my heroes, Dr. Malcolm Kendrick, mm-hmm. for example, dropped me an email overnight and said, fantastic sleuthing, well done, Zoe, I'm going to do a blog on this myself and use most of your material if you don't mind. So I said, brilliant, yes, please go ahead. And I was contacted by somebody from MIT in the US for whom I have enormous regard. She is a biochemist, a triple PhD or something, nutrition, biochemistry, artificial intelligence, database expert,
yeah.
computer expert. She can come at these things from many, many different angles. And she dropped me a note to say, great spot, really well done.
Wow.
So they're relying on the fact that nobody has got the time to do what I do.
Good grief.
Go in and look and see if they've been manipulating the evidence.
You should work for Theresa May. She could do with you now.
Oh, she could, yeah. I'm glad you asked about the UK weather rather than the UK political weather map.
I was going to say, statins are the least of their problems right now in the UK.
We're a bit in turmoil. We need a bit of help from you guys at the moment to break the deadlock, I think.
Yeah, because, of course, Spanish politics is really straightforward. Oh, Zoe, well, as always, great work. And if people want to find that and all your other information, you go to zoeharcombe.com and you can find all the blogs there and links to all the kind of past blogs as well.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
I'll post that newspaper article link up at the top.
Great.
My most recent blog, so then people can just read the open newspaper article.
Perfect. I've just spotted, actually, in my kind of looking into this, that the people, Amgen, who we were talking about, also have now just had another drug approved called Repatha.
If you put in that word on my site, there's some great blogs on there, because they finally came out with what they thought was their evidence paper. I think it was last year I blogged on this, and I managed to look at the raw data and show that for the criteria for which Repatha is actually approved in the UK, there was no evidence for the criteria. So in all the circumstances in which NICE said, National Institute for Care and Health Excellence, in all the circumstances that they said, you should prescribe Repatha for this circumstance and this circumstance, there was no evidence for those circumstances.
My goodness.
The reason that I think Amgen have funded this, because Amgen are behind Repatha, which is a PCSK9, that's the type of drug.
Yep.
It works on a particular protein genetic code or whatever.
This is another cholesterol-lowering drug, isn't it, basically? Yeah.
Oh, we really, really, really don't fully understand how this one works, other than you are messing with the body at a seriously fundamental level.
Right.
And if you think that's a good idea to start playing God, playing nature in that way, then good luck to you, but it scares the life out of me.
Another one you mentioned in your article, actually, which was part of the study, and I don't know if you know about this one, but I've never seen this word. It said statins and or ezetimibe.
I don't know how to pronounce it either, actually. Ezetimibe?
Yeah.
So it's that's basically a drug that decreases the absorption of cholesterol in the small intestine.
Right.
Which then will lower blood cholesterol levels. Most people don't take it because of all the drugs that lower cholesterol that give tummy side effects. That
right.
is the ultimate.
Oh.
Apparently the pain can be excruciating. And it's actually not deemed to be that effective, so I just don't understand why doctors give that one, other than that doctors are just so obsessed with lowering cholesterol. It's now particularly LDL cholesterol. They don't really seem to care about any other kind of cholesterol at the moment. So a lot of doctors will just say, oh, take a statin and take this one on top, and then they'll put you on PCSK9s, apart from the fact that they cost about $4,000 a year per person.
Wow.
So they might hold back. In fact, I think it might even be even more. I think it might be $14,000 in the US.
Good
per
grief.
Person. Yeah, so this is going to make, the PCSK9s are going to make statins look like pocket money.
Wow. I was just saying to one of our callers who rung in earlier, I had the misfortune of going to see a sleep specialist here in Spain, in inverted commas, and told her the whole story of, you know, I wasn't sleeping properly at night and blah, 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 blah. Her first question, Zoe, was, have you got high cholesterol?
Oh, no.
And I said, excuse me? Even if I did have, what does that have to do with me not sleeping at night? You're telling me that I'm so clogged up that I can't sleep.
And do you know, the more you think about this, the more crazy it is, because cholesterol cannot clog up your arteries. You do not have cholesterol in your arteries. You have lipoproteins in your arteries. You have these little taxis that carry cholesterol, but they also carry protein and triglycerides and phospholipids. You do not actually have cholesterol in your arteries.
Well, there we are. There.
It just, the whole mindset, you just, when you understand it and when you look at it, you just think, how can you guys believe in this stuff? I mean, I know it's the time of year when we believe in Father Christmas. For the rest of the year, people who don't believe in Father Christmas are believing in statins and cholesterol lowering, and you're just a bit as insane, in my view.
Oh, Zoe, as always, you talk such sense. It's a pleasure to talk to you. So I guess it's happy Christmas now, isn't it, really?
Yes, and to you. Yeah, have a wonderful break.
Yeah.
And we'll catch up on the nonsense in the new year.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for all your efforts this year. We really appreciate it. So do our listeners. Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.